tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Good evening, AfterBuzzers. We're here at the AfterBuzz TV studios discussing everything American Horror Story Season 4. I'm your host for the evening, David Scipolitti, joined by my beautiful panel, Sarah Huggins.
Hello.
Jillian Leff.
Hi, guys.
And Oriana Leo.
Hi, everybody.
We're doing tonight's episode 8, titled Bloodbath.
Ooh.
Ooh, very ominous. I think I need to get closer to my mic. Sorry, maybe. Guys. Technical difficulties. So everybody was a little up in arms with the title, I think, or jumped the gun a little bit about what the title was about, and I think everyone was expecting a little bit more death tonight.
Well, in looking at Twitter before the show, I saw that Ryan Murphy and Sarah Paulson had a nice little conversation back and forth, and Sarah wanted Ryan to come over and watch the show with her, because she said that this was one of the most difficult and bloody shows with the most death. And okay. He agreed.
Did she say death in the tweet?
Mm-hmm. And she agreed.
They're big deaths.
And, I mean, they were deaths of main characters. But I was expecting maybe
a bloodbath.
Yes. Well, we did get a bloodbath.
But when you hear bloodbath,
we got a literal bloodbath.
Yes. That's not what you think. You think like lots of murder and lots of blood.
Yeah. I've been catching up on Sons of Anarchy, and it's like every episode
everybody's a bloodbath.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's just bodies everywhere. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
When I heard about this episode title.
But we didn't get that.
No.
But that's fine. I enjoyed the bath of blood that we got.
I feel like the end especially, there was so much to talk about.
Of course you enjoyed the bath. You saw Dandy's butt.
No, but I'm convinced that was a butt double. I'm convinced that was a butt double. Notice how it was shot. You never saw him. You saw, like, waist down.
Right. It could have been a butt double. Totally. Whatever. Butt double. That's not why I enjoyed it.
Yeah, right.
That was a plus. Okay. That was a plus, of course, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who thought that.
I mean, I'm not one of them, but I know there are other fans.
Anyway.
Anywho. Aside from that, the title being slightly misleading, I thought tonight was a really good episode.
Me too.
Action-packed.
Yeah.
I definitely was on the edge of my seat. And
a lot of things, well, not a lot. There was two moments in particular that I thought things were going to happen, and it took a totally different turn. Like, complete 180 for me.
Yeah, I feel like there were some more surprises
tonight.
Instead of it just kind of dragging out, we got the action that I've been craving.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with one of the big major surprises.
Yeah.
So Ethel and Elsa, we see the freaks sort of looking for Mon Petite at the beginning of this episode, and they don't find her body, of course, because as we know as the viewers, her body has been sold to the museum by
Stanley.
But they find her dress, which, who pointed that out? Was that you?
I did, yeah. Really? I was like, oh my gosh, guys, that's why he changed her into a different dress, because he had a plan the whole time.
Right.
And I wonder whose bones he used, because they said
they took the bones also.
He said, oh, an animal must have taken her bones and all.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Because there were no bones found.
Oh, yeah.
But she's so tiny, you really could think
so. It's sad
very
about
probable.
That.
So well, I mean, Elsa was beyond sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was like her bestie.
Little. Well, she said
hot water bottle.
Yeah.
Her little hot water bottle. She said such a beautiful thing about her. That's how she was God's light. And he knew that the world couldn't handle her, handle his love in a bigger package.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was such a sweet thing to say about her.
It was.
You know what I kept thinking when Elsa was breaking down and crying, and obviously we'll talk about this later in the episode, but I just kept thinking about her relationship with Stanley and if she really knew what Stanley did with Mon Petit and how things could shift.
He would be done.
Yeah.
I like where your head's at.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Were you guys thinking that at all? Like,
no.
Now that I'm saying it, do you have any thoughts?
Well, now that you're saying it, I mean, it's clear that Elsa puts so much trust and she's put so much of her life's work into what Stanley is sort of feeding her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That she's willing to do anything, as we see by tonight.
Well, actually, I just want to point out that Ethel mentions all that's precious to you is the roar of the crowd,
mm-hmm.
and I think that says it all.
And even with that really nice flashback that we had, where Elsa was singing, and then Mon Petit comes in, and you could see Elsa sort of dramatically walking off stage, dropping the flower. She did care about Mon Petit. We obviously know that it was her little baby, but the roar of the crowd is always going to be her number one.
Do you think, like, she's going to find out, like, what Stanley has done and, like, be okay with it?
Not okay with it, I don't think.
But, like, she could understand why he did it because, you know, he's kind of seeking the same sort of, like, roar of the crowd in a different way.
That's really interesting. I don't think Elsa has a sympathetic bone in her body, really.
I don't either, and I don't think, in my opinion, that she's ever going to find out what Stanley
has done.
I think she's going to, he's going to, like, sort of slip into the night when least expected.
I don't see him surviving.
I just had a random thought. Note that, like, Elsa is a dinosaur. Like, she is an artifact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, everyone's telling her the party's over. Mm-hmm. This is over. This whole thing is done. And it's kind of like she belongs in a museum. But
I could
see
her in the museum.
She doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to think about what year it is, right? It's 1952 in the United States. And this sort of circus freak show environment sort of, at this point in history, has sort of died down, and it is on its way out, and people aren't going to see freak shows so much anymore.
They have television.
Pay the top dollar.
They have television, and there's other entertainment to be had.
Right?
Radio. They have films that they're going to see. They no longer need a form of entertainment like this. I mean, vaudeville has died down at this point, and, I mean, the 60s is right around the corner.
Mm.
I mean, we're due for another sexual revolution.
Yeah.
I was also thinking, in this episode, another theme that they really talked about, and I think it makes most sense to bring it up now since we're talking about Stanley, protecting your own and banding together as a freak, and mm-hmm. Elsa coming out and revealing herself as a quote-unquote freak and understanding Ethel. Stanley and Esmeralda, Maggie, mm-hmm. are not freaks, so I wonder where that
Stanley has his little
physical freak.
Correct. Right.
Okay, so we found out this episode, you know, Esmeralda, she is a normal girl.
Yes.
Stanley is a normal man.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that Elsa will find out what Stanley's motives are, and they will band together to get rid of Stanley and Esmeralda because they are not one of them.
Interesting.
I don't know. This was another one of those episodes where they really drove home the theme of sticking together and mm-hmm. being a family and, you know.
I thought it was pretty preachy on the whole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the, like, whole, like, woman hear me roar speech that was like, we're women, you know, like, you know, like, yeah, I just thought it was, there was a lot of those scenes. Like,
well, I mean, it's very indicative of this season as a whole.
Agreed.
It has been a little bit of some sort of agenda being shoved down our throats.
Right.
Which I'm not complaining about because, you know, I don't necessarily mind it as a viewer, but
it's weird because I've never noticed it as much as I have this season.
I was going to say,
American
I think it's
Horror
the
Story.
Most heavy-handed
on American
this
Horror
season.
Story, correct. On American Horror
it
Story.
It is very heavy-handed.
And fans, what do you think? Do you feel like you're being preached at? Do you feel like you see an agenda?
And it's not necessarily in a bad way. It's just something I've noticed.
It's just overt.
Yeah.
It is very overt. And to be honest, I don't even know what the agenda
is.
Yeah, because there's a couple, there's a few, you know, and there's the whole thing with Penny where she's like, I just want to love who I want to love, you know, and like, okay. I want to be free, to, you know, to do what I want, mm-hmm. and that there was that whole part, and then there's the
being
whole,
like second-class citizens.
Right, being treated like second-class citizens, you know.
But as a viewer, like, aren't we smart enough?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Right. Like, watching it, I'm like, okay, I understand what they're going for, and I do enjoy the show.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, Coven holds a special place in my heart.
Me yes. too.
But I really do like what they're doing with this season. It's just so much, and it's like, respect us as viewers.
It's like, we understand.
And maybe not drive the point home so hard.
Well, it's kind of the show don't tell idea. Yeah. Is it like, I feel like very intelligent television shows doesn't tell. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of telling, and it doesn't mean that this is not an intelligent show, but it does insult my intelligence a little bit.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm going to say something that might not be very popular.
I love when you do this.
Let's do it. Okay. YouTube comments, let's get ready. Get your fingers ready.
So us living in Los Angeles, in a major right. city in this country,
right.
being in the entertainment industry, we may be smarter than the general public that is watching this show.
Or more aware
of certain things. So it might be a way for him to, because Coven had such success as a show, that perhaps now they're reaching a wider audience, that he wants to sort of drive home a certain agenda, whether it be gay rights or not, but it does seem like it is a gay rights thing.
A lot of it, yeah. Just like an equal rights thing.
Right, where he needs to sort of hit the nail on the head so that everyone sort of understands his point.
I think that is a great comment. I don't think that's a...
Well, I'm basically calling middle America, the middle of the country, stupid.
But you're not saying everybody.
I'm not saying that, but sure. like, that is sort of how I see it, why he's doing it in such an overt way.
Well, also, I think we have to remember, like, we are critical watchers.
Correct.
And
right.
and who knows how many of us there are out there. I know we have wonderful YouTube commenters and iTunes commenters and people that are reaching out to us on a regular basis, you know, really intrigued about the show and sharing their theories. Not everybody watches like we do.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, these are our opinions and everyone's entitled to them. And, yeah. and I do think that, David, you make a valid point.
Yeah.
But we just have to remember that not everyone watches like we do.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
There is mm-hmm. also that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But there was very beautiful moments between Ethel and Elsa tonight.
Yes.
Despite mm-hmm. the outcome of what happened with the knife to the yes. eye, they really did have a beautiful connection and a friendship and a 14-year sort of like mother-daughter or like sister-sister relationship, whatever you want to call it.
So I have to make a comment and pose a question to you mm-hmm. guys. Mm-hmm. When Ethel says that it gave me such pain to be around you,
oh,
and
I
shouldn't have felt dread to hang out with my best friend, I really identified with that.
Not
necessarily like a specific person, but we've all at least at one point in our lives. Could you guys relate to that feeling of someone that you're supposed to be close with, but it makes you sick to be around them?
But it's just easier to be friends with
yeah,
them
do you
than
guys
enemies.
Relate?
Yeah,
I honestly can't.
150% can.
Yeah. Really?
And have like, been... Yeah. That's because you are a cold-hearted monster.
No, I was going to say it's because of the opposite, actually, is how I viewed it. Like, I don't... Like, if I don't want to hang out
kidding.
With somebody...
Then you just don't call them.
The way I look at it is that, like, you...
I don't
love,
have an agenda with my friends. Sorry.
I don't either. You love somebody so much, and you care for them so much, that sometimes... It hurts to be around them.
And it could be family. It doesn't have
it
to be friends.
It can be family. Mm-hmm. Family can be friends as well. And it can just be someone in your life that is sort of, you care so much for them and you see the bad things and the not nice things that they're doing that sometimes it just hurts to be around them, but mm-hmm. you stay with them or near them or in contact with them because of your love for them. Mm-hmm.
I totally related to it. I felt like...
And it hurt my heart so much to hear her say that.
I did. It hurt mine, too. Really, she felt like... She pretty much was saying the biggest, pure thing in my life was Ma Petite and my loyalty to you.
And I have neither.
And I have neither. And that she really, she was her submissive. I mean, she said, I made you dinner every single night. Like, she sacrificed so much, but there was still a lot of pain there in their relationship. And it was a beautiful scene, I think. And also, Elsa would not have revealed her disability had she not been shot in the leg.
Yeah.
No, she never would have. But you know what? It was sort of, I feel like it was a moment that she was gifted by whatever happenstance, and she took advantage of it.
Yeah.
As a true showman, a true entertainer would. The show must go on if she's going to survive whatever's going to happen, because I'm sure she feels what is coming from Ethel, and... You know, you don't kick a gift horse in the mouth.
I really did think that Ethel was going to kill her, though.
I did, too.
I thought she would at least hurt her.
Yeah.
But, like, we all know that when you have a gun and you let the victim talk you out of using it right of way from television.
Or films.
They get away. Like, you're not... I mean, if you really want to kill someone, pull the trigger. Stop talking.
Right. So,
she did pull the trigger. Right, she just got surprised by what she hit.
True. Then pull it again.
Then pull it again immediately.
Immediately, without a conversation. Nice.
So, you know, it's a little advice for you people out there with your guns. Shoot first, ask questions later.
But we got to see the flashback with Massimo. Mm-hmm.
We did get to see...
crafted these sexy legs.
These beautiful legs for Elsa, which I'll get to you in a second. But I'm questioning, and my entire thoughts around Massimo, who's played by Danny Houston, who played the Axeman last season,
who
was her love interest last season.
Who may or may not be Jessica Lange's real-life love interest.
Ooh.
Because remember, she brought him to, what was that, the Emmys?
Yeah, I think so.
He was
just friends, girl. The entire time that he was crafting these legs for her, I kept thinking to myself, I wonder if he crafted two sets of legs, one for flats and one for high heels.
You were really thinking that?
I swear to God I was.
Interesting.
Because I have a couple friends who, growing up, I had a friend who lost both her legs in a horrible boating accident, and she had two sets of legs, one for flats, one for heels. I had another friend in college who lost a leg who had the same thing.
Well, just like when, like, Amy Purdy was on Dancing with the Stars, like, and I mean, they made all kinds of, like, different, like, feet for different shoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to have them.
Because the lady that married McCartney, that lady?
Heather
Paul McCartney's
Thomas.
Wife?
Wasn't it Heather
X?
Thomas?
Heather something. Anyways, yeah. Heather Mills. She had tons of sets for all of her, for boots, for sandals. Mm-hmm. She had everything.
So it was like something that was going through my mind. I have a different experience with, you know, prostheses and people in my life.
Right.
But that's why I thought about it.
Interesting.
And I don't know if you guys saw
I mean, they might
all.
Not have been that, like, technologically.
Well, he made
advanced.
Them out of wood.
Yeah.
Like Pinocchio.
But they were her everything. I mean, you could see when she was touching her legs in the flashback, she was just looking at them like, wow, like, you know, it's... And when she was even on the table, she was just like, I am ugly. I will never be anything. And
she looked good.
Let me just say...
That face was snatched.
That makeup job, that was some tape. It was like...
It was amazing.
Her skin, oh my God, it was like butter.
Amazing. So I have to...
So what was about to jump out of your
the
mouth?
The thing that jumped out at me is that I'm a... classic film fan. I am a major Fellini fan, and it was a real Fellini moment of just the black and white and the glamour and them speaking. I mean, her Italian was better than his. His accent was terrible.
His
it was.
It was like nails on a chalkboard to me. I was like, because I, you know, I'm Italian, and my father barely speaks English as it is. Sorry, Dad. I can't understand a word that comes out of that man's mouth. He's been living in this country since he was 13. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Well, but his Italian
was terrible.
Was awful.
It was really bad. But I loved the moment between them and the glamour. And it was overkill, but I loved it because that's how those films were.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
super
so dramatic.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was great. And I'm convinced, I don't know if you guys are thinking the same thing, but Dr. Feinblum that Gloria goes to, I'm convinced that Massimo and Feinblum are the same person.
Yeah, I was wondering what you guys thought about how they never showed a face.
Well, that's
and it
why
was just a voice.
It was suspect.
The voice was 100% him.
And that's what I'm thinking. Like, when you could see his hands, for some reason, I couldn't focus in on the voice. Mm-hmm. But there was one point where we just... When Gloria was on the phone with him, that's when his voice jumped out to me.
But what do you think? What do you think the reason behind that was?
Making them the same person? I'm going to leave it for predictions.
I don't know if I should leave mine for predictions either.
Well, like, write it down because you're going to forget it just like me. I'm writing mine down right now.
Can't we just say it now?
I'll
say mine now. So Fine Bloom, making Fine Bloom and Massimo the same person would allow Elsa to sort of have this outside life that no one else really knows about, and for them to sort of be in cahoots together with their career paths, and having him be like a love... her, like, husband, basically, and having, like, financial support for her business as well.
This is all going on that we don't know about?
Yes.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think that when Massimo, I mean, not when, the therapist.
Yes, Fine Bloom.
When he ended the call to Gloria, he said, "I'm fearful for your life."
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he's going to investigate. And there will be a big reveal on who he actually is.
And then
when
their
he
paths
hear.
Will recross.
See, I just don't think that... I think that was, like, done for, like, effect. I don't feel like he... I'm not going to say he's not going to come into the picture in some way, but I don't feel like it was because he's going to be, like, super significant to this whole thing.
Well, he might also be the person who's giving Elsa her freaks.
Well, I just thought something was a little odd about this episode was about how she kept feeding Ima Wiggles when we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought you were broke. Like, I thought you were struggling, and there's more food where that came from. Like, that was something that made me think there might be something else going on.
Okay.
Where's her money coming from all of a sudden?
Ima is a trust fund girl, though. So it
Did
might
she
be
bring
Ima's
her money?
Money?
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
Yeah, she just asked for money, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of how
I mean,
I
we'll,
took it.
We can get to that, but we'll see. I mean, there is a reason why you would make... Fine Bloom and Massimo the same person.
There has to be. In Ryan Murphy's world.
And in this world, there has to be. And so while we're on the moment, Gloria is talking to Fine Bloom about her distress over Dandy and what's going on with him and her fears. And we sort of get to see a little backstory of Dandy.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out a lot about Gloria tonight also that we didn't know before. Mm-hmm. So Dandy, as a child... was raised basically alone, right? He didn't have brothers or sisters, and he didn't interact with children because Gloria and I guess his father were afraid.
He was going to hurt somebody.
He was going to hurt somebody.
Well, I mean, he killed the cat because it was digging up mommy's azaleas.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like the word no. That's what it was.
Yeah, I really liked
who does?
The word the use of the word foreigner in this
it's
episode
sexy.
Where Gloria said he was like a foreigner his entire life. He never knew what the word no meant. Among many other things in his vocabulary.
Yes.
In that scene, it looks like he's going to cut off Regina's hair.
Or he did cut
right.
off Regina.
He did cut off her ponytail.
There was a reason that they didn't want him hanging out with their children is because he was dangerous.
And the way she explained hearing the word no as a battle cry.
An affront
to him. I mean, it was very descriptive of Dandy's personality and who he is and who he's become as an adult.
And she said he was a willful child. And
yes.
You're right. I felt like it was explained so well in that little monologue.
Yeah, and that just... It was like 5 minutes.
And that he killed his first person when he was young.
Or... Allegedly.
He disappeared his first person.
Disappeared.
He disappeared his
That's
first
amazing.
Person.
Disappeared.
And he asks her, well, what's bringing this on? And she just says, it's a mother's intuition.
Yeah.
As it flashes to Dandy covered in blood.
Bloodbath.
Bloodbath. And then, you know, Dandy's doing the ink blot tests. and what?
He's Jillian? Just my favorite.
I know!
He's just so...
David, like, dreams
so
about him at
good.
Night. I was going to say, I was thinking at the very end when he was in the bathtub, I was thinking, talk about, like, coming into a show and being, like, a relatively unknown and, like, completely stealing the show.
Agreed.
I mean, like,
I hope that his career flourishes after this.
It has to.
This kid deserves it.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's in that moment where he's talking about the ink blots and he talks to the doctor about how...
Papua New Guinea
warriors, when they got into a fight, which is something that we've heard before. It's not necessarily just these tribes that when they defeat their... When they defeat their... What are they
opponents.
Called? Opponents. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes my brain does not fire as quickly as my mouth does. When they defeat their opponents, they consume the flesh of the other tribe's biggest warriors and their medicine man to sort of consume their powers and take over their abilities. And then he wonders, he poses the question to the doctor that... Do you think you have to do that, or could you just bathe in their blood?
Why doesn't he kill him, do you think? I thought, oh, that he's dead.
Why doesn't he kill the doctor?
Mm-hmm. We can't kill everyone.
Well.
He's got his own... Well, we don't know. The preview is pretty crazy, but, I mean, he just... I don't know.
I would say the answer is that it's a power trip. He only kills people that he feels more powerful than... And he...
So far.
And it's been mostly women or prostitute. Mm-hmm. People that he feels that he can control. And I don't think that he can control the doctor yet.
That's true.
He doesn't kill the doctor because the doctor doesn't pose a threat necessarily. And so far, the people that he has killed, despite the hooker, have been...
The hottest man alive.
have been people who pose a threat to... the way that he wants to live his life, including his mother.
Agreed.
And Dora.
Yeah.
And the kitty cat.
Aw. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of, despite his twisted ways, it makes
sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't agree with what he's done, but I can understand.
I had that sort of, like, Dahmer, you know, idea. When I was just talking about the power, and I was thinking about... you know, eating body parts and brains and all that. And that, I wonder if that really is a motivation or has been a motivation for some of these documented serial killers of wanting to, like, consume the energy of their victim. I'd never really thought about it, but that must be it.
I mean, it makes total sense. I mean, I've never heard of any other serial killer describing it that way and sort of saying that they wanted to consume and become more powerful by eating their victims.
But it does make sense.
What do you think? Jillian's very quiet.
I'm good.
It's so creepy.
She's really creeped out.
You're so freaked out.
Creepy. I'm good. I won't be Googling Jeffrey Dahmer when I get home or looking.
Do you not know who he is?
I do know who he is. But I'm not gonna be looking into it.
However,
I mean, there's a whole bunch of documentaries.
I have to be honest. Where there's Dandy, there was Twisty, and I think I'm just really missing Twisty.
Oh, I kind of forgot about Twisty, actually.
I miss Twisty.
Tell you the truth.
I miss Twisty.
I miss Ma Petite more than Twisty.
Oh, I miss Twisty so much. I just felt like he was such a compelling character, especially without the ability to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And around town, people that are talking about it, I feel like there's quite a bit of nostalgia for Twisty.
Well, he's definitely getting an Emmy nomination.
Wishing he lasted a little longer, you know?
I really...
It was over so fast.
I liked Dandy and Twisty together. And although I do like Dandy solo, I think there was just really something special between those two.
I feel like you'd be tired of him, though,
Spin-off.
If he lasted now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me pose this question to you guys. Now that Gloria's out of the way for Dandy...
Well, you're not going to move on after that, right?
I'm not going to move on, but I'm asking a freaking question. Okay. God. Damn it, Sarah.
Sorry, whoa. Censored.
You don't have to censor that. Now that Gloria's out of Dandy's way, do you think that was sort of his guiding light as to...
a moral compass?
Correct. And this is what happens when you interrupt me, Sarah. I forget my train of thought.
So
is he going to go off the rails?
Right.
Yes, completely.
Yes. Yes.
Without a doubt?
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
I mean, immediately?
She was the only... I mean, he was trying to behave for her. He didn't really stop doing what he wanted to do, but he tried. Mm-hmm. I think that with her out of the way, he doesn't have to try anymore. There's no containment issue.
Right.
Mm. I mean, granted, if you really think it out and play it out, like, well, if mom goes missing, are there bills to be paid? Like, what is going to happen on the day-to-day? Are the cops going to come? Like, he doesn't seem like he's really attached to reality about what's going to happen if she's not there. Who's going to bring the food to the house? There's no door and there's no mom. Like, he doesn't know how to take care of himself. So I can see it devolving in that way.
And very quickly.
Very quickly. But he doesn't have anybody to take care of him now. For better or worse.
For better or for worse. Now, what did you have to bring up?
Tell us, Sarah.
Okay. I don't know if it's just because, like, Oh, it sounded like it was David. Okay. I'm not going to justify it. I'm just going to say what I thought. So, did anybody else think that that scene when she was talking about loving every part of him, Gloria, and she was like, I thought it was going major mother-son loving situation. I mean, it got dangerously close for me.
It didn't cross my mind for 1 second.
It didn't?
Nope.
I know it did with Oriana. Yes. Because we were like, I was like, oh my God. And when she started rubbing him, I was like, oh my God, it's happening. They're going to start French kissing. Like, I was like, oh my God.
Well,
like, I'm dying.
Now,
and I can't.
They're like already weirdly, I mean.
Well, but like, then the conversation, and I mean, I have to say it was done very well because as soon as, like, you know, she got up, I was like, oh my God, like, am I just like a weirdo? Like, or was that happening?
And no, I'm going to explain why. Okay, so, and I will get back to it, I promise. Within that whole conversation and why it went to where you thought it was going, Dandy reveals the most interesting thing about Gloria.
Yes.
Which is that her father lost his fortune in the 1929 stock crash.
Right.
And she would have done anything to get back into a wealthy home, including marrying her second cousin, which...
Right.
I think is not so bad because you're not blood related.
You still are blood related. What are you talking about?
Second cousin? No, you're not.
You're so blood related, but you're just not first related. Cousins.
It's once removed. It's like, you know, it's like...
It's still blood related, but...
It's blood related, you
she
freak.
She knew what he did to those little girls.
Right.
And we don't know what
and
that is.
And we don't know what that is. What do you guys think? I'm thinking...
touched them.
That's what
I'm
thinking.
Yeah, I'm thinking touched, too.
I don't... I mean, that's what it sounds like.
It could
like.
Be more than just
killed?
Touch.
It could be killed. But what it shows, what it tells us, is that Gloria has been complicit in criminal activity for a really long time. Like, she has made these decisions, and she made the decision that got her killed.
Well,
essentially.
So, I want to ask you guys whether or not, if you were put into the same situation, what would you do if you're put into the position where you can have anything you want and you can do whatever you want because money is no question.
Be destitute or marry a pedophile?
Hold on. I'm getting there. I mean, she came home with
like
8 Hermes boxes and 6 Tiffany's boxes and... It's 1952. I mean, that's still a lot of money, and she's willing to spend $20,000 to buy these twins. I mean, money's no option.
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want, but your husband's a pedophile, and your child turns out to be a sociopath.
That's the deal with the devil. That's the deal you make when you sell.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
To me, no, never, ever.
You would never
absolutely
turn a blind eye?
Never.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be alone.
Me too. David is totally the opposite, by the way.
I'd rather be destitute. I mean,
you'd go for it.
I don't know. I feel like I'd totally do it.
Guys, if you're listening right now, he just gave me Dandy eyes. They were like really freaky.
Creepy.
Yeah, they're really
David would do
really?
It.
Really?
I feel like I would totally
But
do
a
it.
Pedophile?
You know, would allow that?
At a certain point when...
Oh, we're not friends anymore.
When the marriage license is signed...
A girl's got to do what a girl's got to do.
Girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. And you sign that marriage license, not a prenup. And you turn that mother in. And you ride the cash cow home.
Yeah.
Well, I think she made her bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She did make her bed.
Because the thing is, you can't. Those kind of choices always, like, karma's a bitch. It'll come back one way or another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
Yeah, I would never in a million years.
Okay.
Man, that devil theme. Deal with the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Devil on Elsa's bag.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Ooh. They've all made a deal with the devil.
They all have made a deal.
And that
deal
was
with
something
the devil.
I wanted to mention was that Ethel says in the beginning, no one's innocent anymore. Elsa keeps talking about the innocence and how these people are innocent, and Ethel's like, mm-mm.
Well, Regina's back, and she's questioning everybody's innocence.
Yeah.
Actually, now that we're bringing this up, I think the only person that is innocent is Pepper and Pepper's
Brother.
Brother? Is it brother? Or
I think so.
Yeah, brother.
Yeah.
We're brothers. They were from the orphanage together.
I think that they're one of the only freaks that are actually innocent because a lot of them participated in questionable activity this episode.
Didn't Pepper... But did she participate in the cop hacking in the beginning?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I don't remember.
I don't remember
no,
either.
Probably not.
Probably
fans
not.
Fans tweet me.
I don't know. No. But it was just making me think because after you guys brought that up, I'm like, oh, and then I remember looking forward that Pepper is going to have a larger storyline probably in the last three episodes.
To bring us into Asylum.
Right, yeah. When we find out how she got into Briarcliff. So I'm thinking like... Is she going to... Are the innocent going to be the only ones that are actually punished?
Or maybe she snaps.
Or maybe the innocents are the only one who are left over after, like,
after
a big...
Dandy's.
Dandy bloodbath. Mm-hmm. Real bloodbath.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Regina's back questioning everybody's innocence, and I really, to be honest, could care less.
Me too.
Me too. I feel like it was just... I mean, I love Gabourey Sidibe. Amazing. But it's just not necessary. She's not going to make it next week. Like, she's going to bite the dust. No question.
And in my opinion, like, why even bother? Like, well, right. Bringing her back. They should have just left Dora.
I guess just to create... I mean, well, they needed, you know, some place to have her.
Had her play Dora.
But it's a placeholder role. I totally agree. It's kind of a filler. And it's just Gabby being Gabby, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'd love to see her have a little bit more range.
Yeah.
I loved her in Coven. She was hurt.
Yeah.
She was great.
Well, she's also going to be in on a new Fox series, I believe. I think it's called Empire.
Okay.
And it's
the
with...
Musical.
And it's with
Taraji B. Henson.
Yeah, Taraji P. Henson. So, I mean, she is a larger part of that show, and I think that's a big reason why she was unable to be on set for this show.
Right.
But again, I feel like there is always a purpose to his characters, especially when they're bringing somebody back that had a larger role in the previous season. So
but everyone can't be, you know, like, I mean...
I'm still expecting something. Like, I'm expecting more than just her dying. I would hope that maybe she would get some sort of vengeance against Dandy before she goes, just because he tortured her as a child, and, you know, they have a deeper history than we're all aware of, and I do hope that we learn a little bit more about their history, because right now we only know that he taunted her.
Right. Yeah.
So,
well, speaking
I really
of
feel like we're gonna get that.
Torture.
Yeah.
Grace and the girls.
Grace.
Hell yes. I am woman, hear me roar.
I mean, yeah, no, I loved it.
I thought it was great, but I had a very like First Wives Club moment in my head.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. Before they actually did what they did, that whole speech, I was like, okay, here we go.
Well, it's what Angela Bassett does.
The
best.
One at the funeral?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was a little... And throwing the dirt on the grave.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We are in it to win it.
Yeah.
It was a little, like...
Okay. But I would have loved... You know what I would have loved? A montage like this. Oh, my god!
Like an 80s film?
That's amazing.
That would have been... Like them getting ready in their closet?
Oh, my god. Girls just want to have fun.
Black or like eyeliner.
Creepy, oh, my god. A creepy version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yes.
Totally.
That actually would have been really entertaining.
Amazing.
Freaky
the
version.
I'm still holding out. We got a couple episodes.
Painting the nails.
We'll be here all night. They should really pay us.
Oh, my god.
They really should pay us. Huh. That would have been really fun. I mean, you could probably montage those scenes together and put Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Do
that for us, please.
Please.
That'd be amazing. Okay. Anyway, but I did love it. I thought it was cute that they were all like...
Well, Penny was so alone, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she's been violated by her father. And
I can't figure out why her hair won't grow back in that one spot.
I think it hasn't been long enough.
You would have stubble.
Well, I don't
only
know.
You when noticed, was like, the weirdest...
Okay,
it was
when
only
you
a
shaved
day.
Your legs...
Darling, it was only a day. Remember, Mon Petit died.
Really? I would love to see that.
Yes,
oh, wow.
It happens. When you shave, it happens.
But I think it really has only been a day. Like, it's not enough to have any real growth.
No 5 o'clock shadow yet?
No, not yet.
All right, I mean, whatever. That's what I was looking for. I mean, I totally... When we were at the funeral, to be honest, I didn't even notice her.
We were at the funeral.
I did. Right away, I was like, oh, feel bad.
Didn't even notice her.
You know what I did notice? Before we move on about Penny, I needed to point this out because it bothered the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Paul is okay now?
I know.
What? He was like standing, smiling. I was like, wait, he was on his deathbed last episode.
Right.
What happened?
I feel like he was like on the mend though. Like they said he was going to make it. Like you knew. So I don't
know. He did not know he was going to make it.
He's like 100%. Like let's do this. He's like standing up straight, like in a suit.
Totally.
The thing about the secondary characters to me is that I always forget about them.
Right.
And, yeah, like, their storylines. Like, I don't even remember what happened to Paul.
Me neither, actually.
What happened to him?
He was always in denial because he had a beautiful face and a messed up body.
No, I know about his tattoos. Why was he on his deathbed again?
Yeah, like what happened?
Because Elsa put a knife in his stomach.
Oh, a knife.
Right.
That's right.
Bullseye. Yeah.
Sorry, it's been a few weeks.
God, it's been a few weeks. And like, when
there's so many people, too.
There are a lot of people. And when you have a show like this and you're focusing on so many storylines all at once, these smaller storylines, you know, I forget about them.
Small but important, David.
Small but important.
So, what do we think about Maggie / Esmeralda coming in while the girls are having their fun with Penny's dad and, like, giving the moral speech?
Kind of unexpected.
Kind of stupid.
Annoying.
She pisses me off because she knows exactly what's going on with Stanley, yet she does nothing to stop him.
Right.
And it's like, why are you going to show this? You're going to be this knight of morality now when someone has already gone and you knew the entire time that it was happening.
Well, I mean, and the one thing that we sort of glossed over is that that rubber head made another appearance tonight.
Yes. Actually, and shout out to John.
Shout out to John.
John mentioned that they got just what we said in the episode. They got to use that prosthetic head twice.
We have to ask Aaron and Mike. Hopefully when they come back, if they did get to, if it was the same
if
head.
If they had to beard
it. They had to beard
it. Oh my gosh, they probably would have to do that.
That's amazing.
Really fun. But, you know, it's sort of unexpected of Maggie Esmeralda, knowing what we know about her and what she knows about what's going on and where Mon Petit is, because she definitely knows. And
I have to say,
where that head is going.
It was a little preachy of...
It was a little preachy. I'm kind of sick of her.
Angela Bassett, what's her name again? Sorry. Can't remember.
Three titty?
Yes.
Desiree
was saying, like, girl, it was a little, you know, much, but I thought it was right on. Like, girl, you don't know what it's like. Like, you can stand over there all perfect and
pretty white girl.
Yeah, but you're all perfect and pristine and have really no disadvantages compared to everybody else. Yeah.
But it's like, what's her name? Penny just, I mean, yes, now she is one of them, but she was the same as well. Like, before, she was dressed like a pretty white girl. Like,
But she wasn't, because she didn't identify that way. She identified with the freaks, and that's why she left. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like Maggie's coming in, like, what's her deal, Esmeralda? What's her deal that's causing her to come in and warn everyone about doing something they might regret? Like, she's speaking from personal experience.
Right.
But at the same time, she doesn't have the right to really say that. Like, if
you
they want to
so?
Torture and kill Penny's dad, why can't they? She's already complicit to other murders.
I'm surprised that that stopped them, honestly. Like, I knew, like, I was just like, well, so? Like, what?
I mean, I wish it hadn't.
Right, like,
at least he should have lost his willy, I think.
Right? Definitely.
You can survive that.
Mm-hmm.
You can.
Yeah.
People have.
Bobbit did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But it's, you know, it's sort of one of those things where you, it's easier to hurt somebody physically than it is to let them go on and live with the emotional pain. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's sort of the argument that she's making. If you kill him, you're going to be no better than he is.
Right.
And he'll have the scars for the rest of his life.
Right.
So it'll be a constant reminder of what he did.
He'll have physical scars as well now from the tar.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And he'll have emotional scars going forward. But, you know, they taught him a lesson. I think it was a little extreme.
I don't think it was extreme for what he did. He tattooed
Sort
her
of
face
like
and forked her tongue.
An eye for an eye, though. Is that okay?
Right.
I guess. I mean, it's the cruelty of the worst kind. I feel like that person should be right off this planet.
But do they deserve to die for it is the thing. Like, if every murderer who's in prison got the death penalty, like, are we any better than they
Not
are?
Not necessarily, but I still think that, like, I don't know. I could relate to wanting to do that.
I can, too, but I'm not saying that you should do it.
No, I'm not saying you should do it, but I was disappointed that it didn't happen.
We found out a lot about Oriana and David this episode.
I know.
I have to say. I mean, child molesters and murderers and torturers should be, in my opinion, take them out back and finish it.
But then there's, like, so many people that have been, like, wrongly accused of crimes, so...
I know, but that, we're not talking about that. We're talking about criminals.
How do you know if they're an actual criminal, though?
Well, these people on
are
our
actual,
show.
Yes. Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. Not in the real world.
Well, I know, but you guys were bringing
it. I know. You know, it's in my mind, it's all gray territory.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was interesting.
Situational,
that,
I feel like. Yes.
Well, I thought it was interesting that, like you said, that Maggie Esmeralda saying this actually stopped Penny. Like, clearly, it wasn't something she really wanted to do, or she would have done it anyways.
Right, and it stopped all of them.
But don't you think that now that she's... I mean, she tells Jimmy tonight that she's in love with him, and she thought he was a different man. And
I'm sad to see that he's sort of downward spiraling. And
well, he lost his mom.
I thought
he's not supposed to be okay, like, right away.
No, I know. But it's just, it's sad to see, because we know that that was the path that his mom took when all of the, you know, when the dad left and she was a heavy drinker and it was always an issue and that's why she had the liver problems.
Mm-hmm. But, like, unfortunately, I hate to, like, say this, but, like, that happens a lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. when you, like, you just follow your parents' path or whatever path people, you know, say that, like, you're always going to be like this person and you might not want to, but it's, like, in your, like, soul. I don't know.
I think I was surprised that Esmeralda, like, really tried to rally the troops and it's rile him up and get him excited.
It's making me wonder what her motivation is.
Well, she just wants to get away from Stanley, I think.
But she loves Jimmy.
Does she?
I'm not convinced. I think she wants a ticket out of her criminal life. She clearly has a conscience because she just spilled it on all the girls that she doesn't feel good about what she's doing.
Well, do you think that she thinks that she can only survive under the care of a man, and so that's why she's latched on to Jimmy?
Yes. Especially for the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how
totally
it is.
Yeah.
A man is the head of the family and you stay home as a woman. That was essentially...
Well, you know who's not staying home anymore?
Who?
Barbara.
Oh.
I'm a Wiggles.
She escaped from Fat Camp.
She escaped from Fat Camp, and she escaped from Park Avenue, so good for her.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens to her in the future.
We will see what happens to her in the future. I'm kind of sad that they've introduced a new character so late in the
season.
I know,
I'm like, I can't handle it.
But I feel like she's going to be a fun gal to have around.
Yeah. Well, you know, Elsa, she's heartless. You know, Jimmy, the show must go on, mm-hmm. so here's the newest addition since we lost your mom. This is what she would want. Like, baloney.
Heartless.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You don't think that had Ethel and Elsa ended on better terms, like, had Elsa not killed Ethel and Ethel not wanted to have killed Elsa, mm-hmm. don't you think she would have wanted the show to go on? If she had died of her liver disease?
Maybe. Yes, but what we found out tonight, she doesn't believe in Elsa anymore.
Yeah.
It's true.
Maybe the show to go on without Elsa, mm-hmm. but not with her.
I don't know if she'd want the show to go on. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't feel like she was as passionate. Yeah, she wasn't. That wasn't her agenda, you know? I feel like she could have gone and just, like, lived on a farm somewhere or something.
Yeah, probably.
Been fine. Mm-hmm.
And had a little distillery.
Well, then she should have. Sorry, Gur, now you did. But that was
pretty much the episode.
That was pretty much our episode. Let's shout out our fan freak of the week. Or fan freaks of the week.
Well, I wanted to shout out a couple of fans that had some great YouTube comments.
Talk to me.
Dean Bowden. Mm-hmm. I really like what he said about, so saying that Dandy looks like the devil made my spidey senses tingle with the theory about American Horror Story really being an adaptation of Dante's Inferno, and that possibly each season is a different ring.
So would this be hell?
He says, could Dandy be an incarnation of the devil in this way? We've talked about this, but I love the really, like, hit the nail on the head for me.
Yeah.
Because I could totally see it.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Who else?
I have one more. Salvador Lara, shout out. I love this comment. He says, I think this season the freaks are the most normal and vice versa. Dandy, Dale, Penny's dad, they don't have any physical deformities, but they're the most twisted. I love that. Thank you, Salvador.
Quick shout out to at Bad Gal Ray Ray. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, so sorry, but
hey girl.
Hey girl.
We appreciate your tweets.
We do appreciate your tweets.
Oh my god, I'm just seeing some of them. They're really funny.
They're Carl. Really good.
Hi, Carl Myers.
He just tweeted and said that Ethel wanted the curtains to fall.
Yeah.
So yeah, she was really out.
She was on her way out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is sad.
It is sad. The family, but everyone's been saying the party's over. Yeah.
The party is over. It is time to move on. So on to news and gossip. Anyone have any?
AfterBuzz TV news.
Oh, you do.
Tell us.
So it might be old news, okay. Because I just got the November issue of Elle magazine in my mailbox, and it's December. But they had a Women in Hollywood edition, and they featured a bunch of women, and Jessica Lange was one of them. There's a great article on her, just asking her different questions about, did she ever have to stand up for herself to a director? And she said, yes, I really got a reputation for that. And she also, I mean, she talks about a ton of things, but also about how there was a whole decade of her career that was pretty much miserable because all she was playing were these really lackluster supporting roles in films, and how she's experiencing this renaissance now, and that she has never said no to Ryan Murphy, and she's just like thrilled at everything he throws at her. And she's, to her, the worst thing in the world is to be bored. And she had a whole decade of boredom in her career, and now she's in a better place. So I didn't find the link to tweet it, but it's the November issue of Elle magazine, Women in Hollywood. Jessica Lange has some video clips on their website as well.
So I'm sure you guys can go out there and find it. Mm-hmm. Anyone have anything else?
No. I just want to predict.
Okay, let's jump into prediction.
And now, you're after Buzz.
Get it going, girl.
It's my prediction day. Okay, so in the preview, I can't stop it. In the preview, looks like Dandy goes on a killing spree at the Tupperware lady's house.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what I'm calling her because that's what we did last summer.
Yeah, the hostess with the mostest.
Yeah. Yes.
And then he strings up some carcass,
which we have.
So
a
any
good
like
prediction.
Okay, so let's go down the line, Sarah.
I mean, do you want me to like ruin
anything
it
you want
for everybody?
Well, no.
Well, we're predicting.
We're
so
doing predictions.
They can turn it off right now.
I feel like, well, no, I don't know any spoilers.
Okay,
but we all kind of like came to a general consensus of what we thought or who we thought that. Or the two people we thought that...
The blonde head.
Okay, so
the
just
blonde head was.
Talk
say
about
it.
You can say it.
Well, basically my prediction was that everybody... I mean, not everybody dies, but I wrote that down. Because basically that's
episode
what
9,
it looks like.
Everyone dies.
What's it called? Gabrielle Sidibe biting the dust, for sure. I don't think she has a purpose. Sorry.
So you don't think we're seeing her in episode 10?
No. Nope.
You think next week she's dead?
Okay. Yeah, next week she's dead. I think, clearly all the housewives are dead. The twins are dead.
Okay.
And who else?
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
You think he's going to cut off one of the heads?
Yes.
Yes.
You do?
Jillian,
I mean, can
yourself,
I continue?
Go,
but
continue.
He can't remove one without, like, they both have to be dead.
We'll see.
He's not like a surgeon.
Well, as we saw in the preview, there was an operating table, and Bette was crying and saying, I will give up my life for you, sister. So I think that Dandy is going to get the headpiece as a parting gift, if you will. His one true love he finally gets, and he strings her together with his mother's body, because she doesn't have a body. He just has a head. So I think that he is going to have a nice little puppet
sexy
to play with.
Gross.
Yeah, sorry. And I'm done.
Boom.
I don't really have much in the way of predictions, except I really like Jillian's thought process on Stanley and Elsa finding out about Stanley. I hadn't thought of it before, but now that I think about, like, that would be a great murder scene to see Stanley go at the hands of Elsa, who is enraged at finding out, you know, that she's been betrayed, which is the biggest deal to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested to see how this story unfolds. I feel like we're getting to the good stuff now.
We are getting to the good stuff.
We're also getting to the end, sadly. But I agree with you about Stanley. I think he's just gonna slip off into the night. I don't think we're getting any big redemption moments.
I don't think we are either, sadly. But I sort of gave out all my predictions throughout the episode, so I don't really have any more left. So where can everybody find you guys throughout the week?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram Oriana Leo. Check out my YouTube channel, please. youtube.com/TheOrianaLeo. I have a little show called Running Errands in Hollywood.
So subscribe to that and subscribe to our show.
Please do. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jillian Leff. You can find me on Facebook at Jillian Leff Official. And I can't wait for next week, guys.
I know it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm at Sarah on the Go, Sarah with an H on Twitter, and at SarahBear627 on Instagram.
You need to make them the same. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at You Can Call Me Skiff. So from everyone here at the AfterBuzz TV family, we're so happy to be back, and we will see you all next week.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.